Network is now in session.
This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, March 1st. March is already here. Amazing. How did that happen? Man, March 1st, 2017, a glorious 11-game slate on tap. An overwhelming 11-game slate, if you ask me. Lots of delicious games to attack. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. And judging by all the messages and evil trolls all over the world tonight, you guys know how to find me on Twitter. This entire day was just bizarre from the moment I got my 3 hour sleep and woke up until basically now. It's been a weird day, and it's a weird basketball night. The second straight night, just a lot of weird things happened on the basketball court. And you should have kind of known it was going to be a weird, quirky night when, a couple minutes in, Durant, Zaza Pachulia, or I should say All-Star Zaza Pachulia, bangs into Durant's knee, and Durant's out for the night. And now it's just, right now I'm taping this. It's 3:45 in the morning. Adrian Wojnarowski from The Vertical is dropping Woj bombs like left and right. He's basically saying now the Warriors fear Durant may be out months, not weeks. He might not be back for the regular season. And that's why they signed Matt Barnes. So craziness is going on. Even as I'm taping the show, already if Woj is dropping Woj bombs at 3:45 in the morning, that's pretty intense. We'll get to some of the other madness that occurred in my day as the show goes on today. I have no idea what kind of show this is going to be. Like, I didn't do my normal prep, my show sheet. I don't have a Dream Killers, Dream Lovers. I'm just going to go off of like box scores, even though I did watch all the games except the Lakers game. But I have no idea what's going to happen. This could be a disaster show, or it could be glorious and one of the best shows we ever do. So let's get into it. Before we start, though, if you love The Judge, if you love DG Courtroom, if you love the little 5-10 minute audio clips I'm giving you guys an hour before lineup block, if you like these hour long shows I'm giving you at 4 a.m, if you like me only getting 3 hours sleep, I need you to do three things. One, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Two, when I tweet out the show, either if it's this podcast and or the 10-minute audio clip that I'm trying to do for you guys an hour before lineup block, because so much changes from the time I'm recording now and from the time the games actually are starting tomorrow. So please retweet out the link when I do that. I'm telling you, like, you guys have made a big difference just doing that in the last since I started asking you guys to please send retweet instead of like or favorite. It's made a difference. The number of listens is up. We are growing on RotoTrash, on Sleepy Grinders. We are on their radar. So please retweet whenever I do tweet out the link to the show, or when I tweet out the audio clip an hour before lineup lock. It means a lot. Third, please download the app Draft. That's our lovely sponsor. It's hard. I mean, when you have small shows like this, well, then again, we're not that small anymore. We used to be small. It's getting a sponsor can be hard. So, and Draft has stuck with me. They've been an awesome sponsor. Not to mention, it's a great app. It's a lot of fun to do and to use. It's basically it's a form of DFS, but you're basically just doing snake drafts. And you a nice little respite from the DFS grind. You play a snake draft. Please download the app Draft, and when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. Remember, if you can't find out where to put the promo code, just email me, or actually, right now, I guess you can just tweet me at DanielAGreen1. We'll get to emailing in a second. And let me know your username on Draft, and I will make sure you get credit and I get credit. But please, if you do those three things, rate, review, subscribe, retweet, and download the app Draft. Speaking of the app Draft, it is fantastic and glorious. Although I feel like I need a new word besides glorious, because I'm using the word glorious too much. And glorious needs to be – you can only use that selectively. Like, I mean, when I first – like 4 years ago when I started this, I mean, glorious was only reserved – for if like you're truly winning a GPP. And now I use it way too common. I'm finishing like eighth. I'm saying I had a glorious night. I'm finishing like, you know, 14th. I'm saying it's glorious. So we need like different words. So hopefully you guys can help me out. Some other words that are similar to glorious, but you know, glorious is that needs to be used much more selectively by me. That's my fault. Speaking of the app draft, there is a fantastic, delicious new judges chambers up on the app, right in the homepage. If you log in, the first thing you shall see, the judges chambers. It is a 7-day bracket challenge to the death. It is 7 days. It is fantastic. A $10 entry fee, 128 spots. I think it just came up a few hours ago. So right now, I just checked before the show. It was about 25 spots were filled. So we have about 100 to go. Let's get that thing filled up. Please join. It's a ton of fun. I'm in there. And if you join, let me know because I want to know who's in there, who's playing. I keep track of that. Also, guys, we have a small little war brewing here because the problem with the judges' chambers on draft, like I'm not in complete control of that one. Whereas like the ones on FanDuel and DraftKings, obviously like I tweet out the links every day. If someone wants to join, I can make sure that they get in. On these, there are people from other sites joining and trying to take down the judge and the jurors. So we cannot allow this to happen. We got to get in there. And not only that, we have to win. So either me or one of you guys out there, we have to take down this draft challenge. Now it's become super important to me because I'm pretty sure the last one we had, someone from RotoGrinders took down my judge's chambers, and that cannot be happening. So we must get in there and we must dominate. If you've listened to the show the last couple of days, you have noticed that, or I think I've mentioned that tomorrow I'm actually interviewing Andy Larson, who's a Utah Jazz beat writer. He's also is a radio voice on ESPN Radio, a True Hoop affiliate of the Utah Jazz as well. So super pumped for this because Utah is a very tough team for us to figure out. Not to mention Utah plays tomorrow. So maybe I'll find some tidbits out during the interview and I will tweet it out after the show. I'm not sure when I'm going to – so I'm taping that podcast tomorrow with Andy. I'm not sure when I'm going to post it. I might wait to post it until the weekend. I'm not sure. But that's going to be up soon in the next couple of days for sure. And if you guys have any last-minute questions, please tweet at me. I think the podcast, we're officially recording at like 5 p.m. Eastern. So if you have any questions about Utah, it could be DFS questions, obviously. If you, you know, Favor is the big one for me. What the hell is wrong with him? You know, Gordon Hayward, Ingles, Rodney Hood, George Hill, any of those guys about their style of play, the pace, the rotations, anything you want. But also, if it's just a general, more of a general basketball question about the Jazz, you can ask that as well. Because you can't ask for a better expert on Utah than Andy. So I'm really excited for that. I'm so close to launching the new website. So I have a website right now, ggcourtroomdfs.com, although I really have not been using it except for the power rankings for the chambers. But we have a new website. It's going to be GG Courtroom. It's just about done, and you guys will appreciate this. I think the guy who's really been awesome helping me out behind the scenes with it, I think he hates my guts right now because he wants me to launch it. He thinks it's basically ready, but me – like there's three things that I need your help with. And I'm bringing this to the listener. So I want you guys to tweet me your suggestions because let's face it. You guys are in this with me. There's three things that I want to put up there and I don't know much about NASCAR. So I want to have some NASCAR top picks of the day because if Roto Trash, they can be giving you NBA picks when they're not qualified, when they're NASCAR experts, the judge can be giving you NASCAR picks when he's an NBA quote unquote expert. So all I know is like Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Danica Patrick. So all you guys, I know some of you do play NASCAR DFS, which actually is fun. Like I like NASCAR DFS, but I don't play it too much. I did a couple times, but send me some names of some guys who could be some top NASCAR picks for me. I think that would be a funny thing to have on the website. Also, this is crucial. So on the website, we have a standing in the corner team and we have a bumble, stumble, fumble team. I need a captain of both of those teams. This is what's holding up the website. You can imagine why the person helping me with this is very perplexed. He's like, what's wrong with you? But so you guys know, like, so every day there's obviously tons of players who stand in a corner who have no usage rates, like Wes Matthews, Otto Porters. So we need more guys who should be on that team. You guys, I want you guys to tweet at me who should be on the standing in the corner team. And also most importantly for that one, who's the captain? Right now, I think Wes Matthews might be the captain of that team. Although I'm not certain. Also, so the stumble, fumble, and bumble team is guys who somehow miraculously end up getting value based on their salary, but it's a grind. So I think the captain of that team is going to be Jay Crowder, you know. But – and also that standing in the corner and bumble, stumble, fumble, you could be on both teams. So let me know who you think should be on either of those teams, standing in the corner team and the bumble, stumble, and fumble team, stumbling your way onto into value every night. Because every night there's guys who do that. It's pretty funny though. Also, let's go. Where are we? All right, let's get to Chambers. What is Chambers, you may be asking? All the new listeners out there, like, what is this guy talking about? All these weird, wacky sounds. Don't worry, if you're new to the show, keep listening. This will all become common language to you very soon. Chambers is just a DFS tournament that we run on FanDuel, on DraftKings, and on the app Draft. We have three of them on FanDuel, 20 people each, because FanDuel, they're still not allowing me to increase and have more than 20 people because they're in bed with roto trash and they will not help the judge out, which is absurd. But whatever. I'm still working on that behind the scenes. Will that happen? I don't know. But quite honestly, I kind of like the 20 spot field to the FanDuel Chambers. So it's basically a compilation of some of the best players in all of DFS join the Chambers. And if you look at the competition that we have in there, in both the FanDuel and DraftKings one each night, I'm not lying when I say some of my friends who play professionally enter. We have a lot of lineup providers who basically take this super seriously. And then we have, in terms of the average player, from novice players all the way to basically expert players. So a large spectrum of guys. I try to keep the quote unquote top players into the first Chambers because I want the people who are new to have a pretty good shot of winning as well. But it does fill up pretty fast. If you want a spot in Chambers, let me know and I will do my best to get you in. It's not always possible, but I do try my hardest. Remember, I also have power rankings, which I try to update. The DraftKings ones have been updated, but I'm not going to wait to release those until I update the FanDuel ones as well. The judge is just super busy with time, so it's hard for me to do. But they will be done this week, and Friday we will be having a best of the best invitation-only tournament for the people who are at the top of the power rankings in Chambers. So for Tuesday night, the winners. Yesterday we had newbies taking some Chambers down. Today we had some veterans. The number two ranked player in FanDuel power rankings, Jeremiah, put up a score of 311. Can he reclaim the top spot? The number one player, MG Fresh, who was on a miraculous legendary run a few weeks ago, had a good night tonight. He finished second. But, you know, the last week or so, he's kind of, you know, this is what can happen in DFS. This happens to all of us. He hasn't had the best week, so maybe Jeremiah can overtake him in the power rankings. I'm not sure. We'll see. Number nine ranked, Matty Millions, also won a Chambers with a top score of the night at 334, which was a really good score on this night because a lot of the chalk guys did not perform and come through. Also, Scrum Ham SC took down a Chambers. I think that's his first win of the year, so congrats to him with a score of 310. On DraftKings, Jeremiah again took down the DraftKings. So I think I can't remember if this is the first time all year we've had someone take down both FanDuel and DraftKings. I know the judge has taken FanDuel and been second in DraftKings. This may be the first time. So congrats to Jeremiah. He goes by Super Fargo on DraftKings. He's also the number seven ranked player on DraftKings right now. Rumham SC took second place in the DraftKings Chambers. And WTBA, who's a pretty good player on all sites, took third. So congrats to all you guys. Where are we? All right, let's hop into a glorious segment. Everyone's favorite segment is Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. So today we're going to do it a little bit differently because I'm just going to go game by game. I don't have a show sheet listing, you know, all the Dream Killers and all the Dream Lovers because the judge wanted to be a little bit lazy tonight. And guys, I am freaking exhausted. Man, this 3-hour sleep thing is no joke. And I get this question at least once a day from you guys, like asking me when do I sleep during the week. So during basketball season, I sleep 6 to 9 a.m. So I get 3 hours. And then occasionally I'll try to get a nap at some point if I, you know, and I can't. So, I mean, sometimes I'll fall asleep during like the late game, like I did tonight. I fell asleep during the Lakers Charlotte from like 11:30 to 12:30, so I got an extra hour there. But yeah, during basketball season, it's rough. Also, another quick story that I can share. So I don't tell many dating stories about my personal life on the show. And I don't know if you listened to when I was doing the podcast last year with Mark Roberts when DFS was illegal in New York. So I couldn't do a DFS show. So I basically just did a DFS a regular basketball kind of season long fantasy podcast with my good friend Mark Roberts. There we talked a lot about my dating life until I told the story one day about Urban Outfitter Girl. Not sure how many of you are still listening to the show who listened last year. But anyway, I was kind of seeing a girl at the time and had a crush on someone else, and I mentioned it on the show. And I did not know the girl I was dating was actually listening to the podcast. But sure enough, she was. And like I woke up to like a text message the next day, and she just laid into me because I had a crush on someone else and I mentioned it on the podcast. So I don't go too much into dating stories anymore because I'm worried that the girls are going to be listening to the show. But my story for this one is basically the last girl that I was seeing, which basically has now ended. It was funny. So she basically, and I try to hide this DFS side to me. Like, cause when you're dating a girl, I can't tell them I have this second persona. I have this second, like a second job basically where, I mean, during the week I'm basically unavailable and I'm, you know, either I'm doing podcasts, I'm watching all the games, I'm coming up with these wacky things on Bumble, Stumble, Fumble team. I can't go out that much during the week. I mean, I basically have to be like the best boyfriend or best dating person ever on the weekends when I don't do podcasts. During NBA season, that's all I can give someone right now. What I give up for you? Basically, I'm dating the audience. I'm dating you guys. I'm dating the listeners. That's who I'm dating right now. So anyway, the girl who I was seeing, and I try to hide this as long as I can. But eventually, a girl wants to go out during the week. So let's grab dinner. And I'll have to keep coming with excuses. Or maybe I'll do it on like a Thursday night when it's a small slate. But eventually, I kind of told her about like the podcast and all this stuff that I'm doing. So she basically was like, yeah, that's probably not going to work out. And quite honestly with me, I didn't want it to work out anyway. So it was a relief. But what I realized, have you guys ever seen the movie Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon? Like, that's me. I think before the podcast, I was like Googling scenes or YouTubing scenes from that movie. Because I don't have enough time on my hands as it is. And the guy's name in the movie was Ben Reitman. And that's me. The judge is Ben Reitman. And if you remember, first of all, it was a pretty good movie. I think it came out in 2005, 2006. And basically, Jimmy Fallon is like the best. And it's also Drew Barrymore's in it as well. He's like the greatest boyfriend in the world, but not during baseball season because he's a Red Sox fanatic and he goes to every Boston Red Sox home game. So during the baseball season, he can't really be a good boyfriend at all. And that's like me during NBA. I can't be a good boyfriend, but once NBA ends, then I can. So late spring or in the summer and maybe early fall, I can be a glorious boyfriend. But during NBA season, I cannot. So I am Ben Reitman. If you guys want to call the judge, AKA Ben Reitman, or come up with some nickname based on that Fever Pitch movie, we could easily do that. Anyway, thought that was funny. All right, let's go into dream killers and dream lovers, though. I don't know how I got sidetracked onto that. So the game that everyone wanted to target tonight, and rightfully so, was Wizards at Golden State. And if you look at the box score, you're 112-108. So it did not hit the 230 over-under, but it still had a 220 over-under, which is not bad. And you're like, wow, that's a decent game. Game stayed close. That's good. But did this game live up to expectation? Not really. Unless you were fortunate enough to play either the Morris brothers. Markeith and Marcus were phenomenal this night. But Markeith for Washington was, I think he put up close to 50 Fanduel points. It was ridiculous. But for Golden State, as I kind of mentioned at the top of the show, it happened 2 minutes into the game. Zaza on defense ran into Durant. It looked like his knee just kind of buckled. And he kind of went right to the locker room, no one was really sure how bad of an injury it really was. And I guess we still don't know. Well, we'll find out when he's getting an MRI on Wednesday. So we'll find out maybe by the time you're listening to the podcast. But so Durant played 2 minutes. So if you played him, soul crusher, I mean, it was heartbreaking. And me, He was actually, I mean, he was surprisingly, he was around 20% owned. And for Durant, that's pretty high ownership for him these days. He was about 20% in like the slam on FanDuel. I had not a ton of exposure, but a little bit. He did definitely killed a few of my lineups. But then again, Jimmy Butler killed the rest, but you played him, Soul Crusher. Draymond Green decided he wanted to have a good game again. Just super annoying because I did not have a ton of exposure to him unless I had a game stack of this game. Steph Curry, the second consecutive night, he was kind of underwhelming. Like the second Durant went out, Steph and Klay get monster usage bumps. So I was praying that both of them would have monster nights because I had a lot of exposure to both those guys, especially Curry. He gave me like 40 FanDuel points, which was fine. He had a horrendous first half. In the third quarter, he came to life. But still, at his salary, giving you 40 FanDuel points on this slate, it really wasn't enough. Klay was dreadful. Klay shot 5 of 20 from the floor, 3 of 13 from three-point range. And Steph was 2 for 9 from three-point range. And yet, I mean, on Monday, Steph was 0 for 11. So the last two games, Steph has been 2 for 21 from three-point range. Just super bizarre. I mean, best shooter in the NBA. I mean, just stuff like that happens. I mean, the shots were there for both those guys. If you told me Steph and Klay are both going to get 20 shots, sign me up. It just didn't work out. On the Washington side, like is John Wall the greatest player of all time who just can't shoot the ball ever? I mean, I guess you can probably put like Iverson in there as well, but Iverson still at least was like a streaky shooter, and Iverson could go games where he would make a lot of shots. Every time I'm looking at watch a John Wall game, he's like 3 for 15, 6 for 18. Tonight he was 6 for 20. Like he still had a good game because, I mean, he had 19 assists. The problem is at his price, he still didn't even hit value. I think he was close to 50 FanDuel points, but this is the problem playing John Wall now. The ceiling really isn't there unless he actually can shoot the ball well, and he's just not a good shooter. So he had 12 actual points. The 19 assists were phenomenal. But it really was his night. Did he kill your lineups? No. But if you played him, did you probably take down a tournament? No, you didn't. Bradley Beal was really good. Like I always wonder, why can't Wall just shoot a little less? Get Beal some more shots. And guys like Otto Porter more shots. Otto Porter, I think, is still leading the league in three-point percentage or is second. Otto Porter gets 8 shots a game. He was 5 for 8. Like Otto can shoot. And that's one thing that's really frustrating is that why his usage rate is so low. He's a really good basketball player in real life. At least he has been this year. I don't understand. Otto Porter had and he had over 30 FanDuel points. If he could ever get shots, he could put up monster lines. So Otto Porter was great. He stumbled, bumbled, fumbled into hitting value. And Markieff Morris was phenomenal. I mean, he had 22 points, 4 blocks, 2 steals, 1 assist, 6 rebounds, 2 three-pointers, shot 8 for 17. In only 33 minutes. So he was excellent. But if you would have told me, you know, the best guy in Washington was going to be Markieff from out of the starting five, I would have probably said that's unlikely. But that's DFS, man. All right, so next game up, Denver-Chicago. This game was super frustrating because I loaded up on Chicago guys. And this is the thing. And I got lots of hate, man. So many people came after me for playing Jimmy Butler. And by the way, if you want to be a troll and yell at me for giving you free advice, and a lot of nights winning you money, but some nights, yes, you're going to lose. It's gambling. It's DFS. Like, don't DM me. Just have the guts at least to tweet me normally. I got so many DMs because I guess people don't want to like have it let everyone know they're a troll. I don't know. It was bizarre, but I got so many DMs like yelling at me for telling people to play Jimmy Butler. And this is the thing. First of all, you can't – if you're playing DFS and you're still just results-oriented on a night-to-night basis, you really should go listen to Roto Grinders because you don't know what you're doing. So go listen to a show that also is going to give you horrible advice and will tell you to enter all the wrong contests. You can't just be results-based. Playing Jimmy Butler, he was an elite spot. It was a great play. He should have smashed. Playing way up in pace, all the Bulls – were good plays. They were all underpriced for this slate. So I have no issues with that play. It didn't work out. And I'm totally fine with that. That will happen in DFS. But with that said, I don't know why it happened. If you watch the game, and I've seen Butler's done this a few times this year. It's just he basically pulled the Paul George. He looked like Paul George tonight. He didn't look the entire Bulls team, they kind of sleptwalked through the game. I'm not really sure why. you would think they would have been super thrilled to play in a fast-paced game where they get a lot of extra possessions. They get lots of shots, like shots for everyone. But it just didn't happen. Butler was dreadful. Shot 3 of 13 from the floor. Only 8 actual points. He was basically worthless. The only reason why you still won money if you played Butler, and I was able to win some money in some lineups, was because Durant put up 2 FanDuel points. Or no, actually, Durant put up -1 FanDuel points because he played 2 minutes, had 1 turnover, and that's it. So I think 70% of people on FanDuel at least played either Butler or Durant. But Butler was really bad. Dwayne Wade was – he wasn't horrible. I still saw him in a lot of lineups that won some pretty big money. But because it was a blowout, he only played 28 minutes. He had 19.6 assists, 4 rebounds. He was okay. Bobby Portis, best game he's played so far in starting. He came to life, which sucked because that limited Mirotic's minutes. Bobby Portis got extra minutes, and everyone including me, was on Mirotic because Mirotic's last 2 games has been great. I mean, Mirotic played – almost 40 minutes 2 games ago. In the last 2 games, he was averaging over 30 minutes. So Mirotic only got 20 minutes. So that was to me, Mirotic, even though he was cheap, he was a dream killer for sure on this slate. 20 minutes, only 6 points, only 4 shots. That sucked. Rondo was the best player for the Bulls, which I actually had a lot of Rondo exposure. If you listen to both the podcast last night and my short audio show that I tweeted out around 6 p.m. Eastern, I did like Rondo. In this up and down game, this was the perfect style of play for him, and he was the only guy for the Bulls who showed up. What was surprising, he took 15 shots. That I did not envision. 24 minutes, 8 for 15 from the floor, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 19 points. I mean, the reason why I also liked him is that the Bulls are basically on the verge of waiving Isaiah Cannon and I think waiving MCW. So that's going to open up minutes for Rondo to at least play 24. A guy like Grant, I guess, but I guess ultimately they're going to want to give Cameron Payne minutes. And if you watch Cameron Payne, how many pounds does he weigh? Can he weigh more than like 78 pounds? That guy is so small. For Denver, Jokic was a beast. The Bulls had no one to defend him. He did whatever he wanted to. He had a triple double, and that's one of the best parts about playing Jokic is he's not only scoring dependent. He only took 10 shots. He had 16 rebounds and 10 assists. He was great. He's still so expensive, though. I don't even know if he hit value. I think he was close, but I think he's a little under 50 FanDuel points. Gallinari and Chandler were both good, and that's why I mentioned on the show yesterday, like, there's days where Jimmy Butler defense just isn't even that elite. Gallinari shot 7 of 10, and Wilson Chandler shot 6 of 13. It's just bizarre. And Gary Harris is just dirt cheap. I don't know why his price doesn't rise. He was excellent again. He gave you 30 FanDuel points again. He's basically been like a lock and load for 30 FanDuel points at his salary right now. And I can already tell you on this slate on Wednesday, his price didn't go up again. So he's in play again on Wednesday. And Will Barton was really good as well in his 29 minutes. A lot of Denver guys did well. No one from Chicago besides Rondo. In the game of the night that annoyed me the most, Portland-Detroit. Of course, this game goes to overtime. Of course, Jrue Dench, Damian Lillard decides to show up. If you watch this game, and I was transfixed. I could not stop watching because Damian Lillard was so motivated. He was so aggressive. And it was from the start of the game until the end of the game. He goes quarters without touching the ball. He stands in corners. He mopes. He thinks of rap lyrics. Like, I don't get like – him and Paul George are the two guys in the world this year I just don't get. But tonight he came to play. He was a monster on both ends of the court, 34 points, 9 assists, 11 rebounds. I think he was close to, 50, 60 FanDuel points. He was in every winning GBP lineup that I saw. He was a monster. CJ McCollum was pretty good too. Nurkic was good. He played 35 minutes again, and with him, it's always going to be if he gets minutes at his price right now, he's going to hit value. He was around 30 FanDuel points, and again, like Jokic, Nurkic gave you 5 assists, so he's not scoring dependent. He had a really good game, and so the Portland guys, they won people a lot of money, and then on Detroit, man, Marcus Morris, I guess he could sense Markieff going off, so he had to go off too. 42 minutes, 13 for 23 from the floor, 37 actual points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds. I mean, I think he had close to 60 Fando points, which is just sickening. Unless you played him, then it was awesome. I mean, I did not have a ton of Marcus Morris exposure on this slate. So, yeah, on the other end of the spectrum, the guy who I have a sign about, I will never play John Lure, who I actually tweeted out my crappy sign. John Lure only got 20 minutes. He shot 0 of 8. 0 of 8. He had 5 rebounds. He had 0 points. So if that you played him, that didn't work. And if you want to yell at me for playing him, fine. That's okay. I didn't say go all in on John Lure, by the way. But did I think against Portland he would get more than 20 minutes and be able to hit value? Of course I did, yeah. Do I regret playing him? No, I really don't. Against Portland, I still would. If we could rewind time, I would say play him again. Not a ton again. Sparingly. Play him sparingly. But guys like Lure and also Reggie Jackson, because if you watch the first 6 minutes of that game, Detroit came out completely sleepwalking. And like from the first second, I was like, oh no, this is a disaster, because now Reggie Jackson's probably going to get benched for Ish Smith. And of course, Ish Smith got 29 minutes and he 12 points, 7 assists, and also 7 steals for Ish Smith. And Reggie Jackson was an absolute no-show, got benched, especially got benched down the stretch. It was a disaster. And I don't know why, as I'm doing the show, my computer screen just went blank. So 1 second. I don't know why that happened. Man, that's horrifying. I mean, that's terrifying. Talk about a dream killer. Man, my screen going blank during the middle of the show. I think we're still live, though, hopefully. I'm too tired to record another podcast after this, if this one doesn't – something goes wrong. So Reggie Jackson was dreadful, soul crusher, dream killer, whatever you want to say. He basically got benched only 24 minutes. Ish Smith was great, and John Lure was horrible. Drummond was okay. He still was sleepy. He somehow basically came close to hitting value, only played 30 minutes because – he can't play down the stretch because Stan Van's worried that people are just going to foul Drummond and he can't shoot free throws. So Drummond, it's hard to have Drummond being an elite play these days, even though he was in an elite matchup versus Portland. Next game up, Utah OKC. Westbrook was great. He was phenomenal. I only had about 10% exposure. I wish I had more. He 43 points, 13 for 28 from the floor, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. I think he had over 60 Fando points, and he was in a lot of winning lineups. And if you watch down the stretch, man, if you look at the shot he took, I think it was 109-106, and like the shot that Westbrook took to beat Utah, he basically went 1-on-4 and hit and got a 3-point play, got fouled, you know, hit a running layup off the glass. He's just on a different level than anyone else. I mean, my favorite thing is looking at the box score. If you look at the rest of the shot attempts from people who started. So Alex Abrine got 4 shots. Steven Adams, not a good game for him. Only 6 shots. Roberson, 2 shots. Sabonis, 4 shots. Westbrook, 28 shots. So pretty amazing. For Utah, nothing really stood out. Favors perplexed me as he always does. He got 27 minutes, so that's a good number for him, and he didn't even hit value. He got 4 rebounds. Where's my gavel? This is why we need Andy Larson on the show. I object to that. How does Derek Favors get 27 minutes, only have 8 points and 4 rebounds? That's disgraceful. It's disgusting. I mean, Gordon Hayward was okay. He wasn't that good. I mean, really, really no one from Utah. Except Ronnie Hood maybe hit value, but other than that, I don't know what to do with them. Phoenix, Memphis. So Memphis was playing way up in pace. I liked a lot of the Memphis guys. Mike Conley was really good. He was a dream lover. 39 minutes, 10 for 19 from the floor, 29 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds. Gasol was great. Gasol was good, not great. But he got you around close to 40 Fando points, which he needed to do. Zach Randolph he stumbled, bumbled, fumbled close to value as well. For Phoenix, no one really. TJ Warren was okay, and that's about it. Also, I don't understand for Phoenix, why didn't they trade Tyson Chandler? Not like they're benching him and Brandon Knight every game. Were there just no trade takers for Knight or Chandler? I can't believe that no playoff contender like would have given up like a late first round pick or even a couple of second round picks for Tyson Chandler. Like, I don't get why they didn't move him. It's just bizarre. And in the game of the night, if you went to bed, you had Randle, you woke up and probably won a ton of money because Randle was the key, the main dream lover, the main key to this puzzle on this DFS puzzle on this night. 34 minutes, 10 of 14 from the floor, 23 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 64 FanDuel points. Mic drop. I said mic drop. I mean, unbelievable. He's got the upside. He just hasn't flashed it much this year. I mean, you know, it's the minutes have always been an issue. He did have a good matchup. Charlotte, you can attack, as I mentioned yesterday on the podcast and on my short audio show. You can attack Charlotte Biggs. They're dreadful. Kaminsky has played well offensively, but defensively, he's a mess. Marvin Williams, he's Marvin Williams. And Cody Zeller is Cody Zeller. So Randle took advantage of it. And if, I mean, like, I think like 3 minutes before lineup lock, we found out that Cody Zeller was going to play. And a lot of people pivoted off of Frank Kaminsky into Randle. Now, Kaminsky still hit value. He had over 40 FanDuel points. He was really good. But Randle was on a different – he was Westbrook tonight. And if you played Randle, if you lucked into him, or however you ended up playing Randle, congrats to you. You probably had a good night. The best part about the Lakers also, like, Russell was really good. But the best part for Russell was 36 minutes, Randle 34 minutes, and Ingram. I mean, can Ingram ever – Ingram is one of those guys who stumble, bumble, fumbles his way into, you know, just a disgusting 20 FanDuel point night and nothing else. Man, Ingram is so frustrating because Ingram got 42 minutes and he had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He didn't kill your lineup. He was okay. But man, if 42 minutes, you would think he could do more things on the court. Fill up the stat sheet, my friend. Come on. Zubac only got 8 minutes. So if you played Zubac, soul crusher, just that was tough. That was a tough blow. But the good news is, going forward, the minutes for the young guys, the 36 minutes for Russell, 34 for Randle, and 42 for Ingram. That's fantastic. All right. Injury news for Wednesday, 11 games. Let me drink some water. Dear God, I'm tired and exhausted already. Now, remember, on an 11-game slate, we're in Sri Lanka. Why are we in Sri Lanka, you may ask? Because Sri Lanka is one of the top cities in the world in terms of romance, in terms of options. Single, if you're single, the number of options is phenomenal in Sri Lanka. I don't know why it is. I've never been to Sri Lanka, but now I want to go. So, because we have so many options, if you're a guy or if you're a lady, you don't have to settle on this slate. Beautiful women are beautiful guys. Beautiful people are everywhere. So remember, the slate dictates what we do. Don't settle. You're in Sri Lanka. Every position is loaded on this slate. Hernan Gomez is questionable, or actually doubtful, for the Knicks. So I'm not sure what the Knicks are going to do. I mean, I guess Kylo Quinn is going to be a good play, maybe even an elite play, which is scary because he wants to foul everyone. He's committing fouls right now in his sleep. Maybe the Kuz will get some extra minutes as well for the Knicks. Lance Thomas. Orlando. It saddens me that I'm so giddy. It's 4:22 a.m. now on a early Wednesday morning, and I'm super giddy to play Orlando guys on this slate, which scares me because it's 11 games and I'm in Sri Lanka. So why do I want to play Orlando guys? Well, C.J. Watson is questionable and Aaron Gordon are questionable. If both those guys are out, Orlando only has really 3 guys that can score: Fournier, Vucevic, and Terrence Ross. All 3 of those guys are pretty cheap, so all 3 of those guys I can play. And then you got Elfrid Payton, the captain of the Magic Mountain team, who is going to be in play as well. For Dallas, Wes Matthews is out, so Seth Curry, elite play on this slate. DeMarcus Cousins is going to be suspended on Wednesday because he got another technical foul. So we're back to the old school Pelicans with Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis. The difference is now, remember, the Pelicans traded away Buddy Hield and Langston Galloway. So who the hell else is going to shoot? Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis, they're going to get every shot in the world. I mean, I guess you have guys like Etuan Moore, maybe a Tim Frazier, a Dante Cunningham. I don't know. But either way, Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday, I mean, man, the usage rate is going to go be skyrocket, go skyrocketing on this slate. Other than that, that's about it. All right, let's take a quick little flight to Vegas, shall we? Lots of juicy, delicious games on this slate. There really are. Starting with Houston at the Clippers. 232 over under, and the Clippers are favored by 1 point. CP3 is back now. So, man, you can stack this game. You can play everyone from this game. It's just CP3 and Blake and DJ on the Houston side. Harden, Ariza, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, Lou Williams. It's just a fantasy gold everywhere. The Clippers are the team that I prefer the most because they're the ones playing up in pace, obviously. Denver at Milwaukee. So I tried to play the Bulls and take advantage of Denver on Tuesday. Did not work out. Is that going to deter me from doing it on Wednesday? Hell to the no, it will not. 226 over-under, Denver at Milwaukee, Denver on a back-to-back. The Bucks are three-point favorites here. Bucks playing way up in pace. So Giannis beat. If I'm not sure if Beasley's playing. I didn't see him on the injury report, but I think Beasley's out. So, man, who else from the Bucks is going to score? Greg Monroe? Brogdon. Brogdon could be an elite play on this 11-game slate, believe it or not. Cleveland at Boston. Really good game. Boston could get the number one seed in the East. Cleveland's favored by only 1 point, 221 over-under. Isaiah, Crowder, Al Horford maybe even. His price is dirt. He's dirt cheap. Marcus Smart. I think Avery Bradley's back, so probably not Marcus Smart. But obviously LeBron and Kyrie on the Cleveland side. Brooklyn, Sacramento. So Sacramento playing way up in pace. 215 over under. So Cauley-Stein, Collison, Lawson, even Buddy Hield. I forgot the other foreign guy's name that I can't remember right now. It will come to me. Knicks at Orlando. I already mentioned the Orlando guys I like. Same, I mean, with the Knicks, 215 over under. Derek Rose, maybe. Melo, Porzingis. I'm not as high on the Knicks guys in this slate, but I like the Orlando guys. And you got Washington at Toronto. That will be only a 211 over-under. But Lowry, I think, is still out, right? So, yeah, Lowry's out for a few weeks. So, DeMar and Corey Joseph and all those guys as well. Serge Ibaka, although Serge Ibaka's price, I fell out of my chair when I saw his price. It's so high. Then we do remember, we're in Sri Lanka, so we got to get rid of the ugly people because we got to narrow the player pool on this slate. Dallas at Atlanta. Do I need any of those games, any of those guys for cash games? I do not. 195 over under. No, thank you. Minnesota, Utah. Do I need that in cash games? I don't. 201 over under. Indiana, San Antonio. Do I need that in any cash games? Nope. 208 over under. So I knock those three games off for cash games. I'm down to a nice 8-game slate. Teams playing up in pace because I love pace. Sacramento, way up in pace. Way, 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 way up against Brooklyn. The Clippers, way up against Houston. Miami, a little bit, which I didn't even mention that game. A little bit against Philly, although I'm not super excited about that. And then Milwaukee playing up in pace against Denver. Teams I like the most in that. All right. Let's hop into plays at each position. At point guard, John Wall, 10.4K. I mean, we saw it on Tuesday. He was great, and he only gave you 46 Fando points. He had 19 assists. He's not a good shooter. Now it's a back-to-back. I just don't see the upside. So on an 11-game slate, do I think he's relatively safe play every night? Sure, but I don't feel the need to do it. Chris Paul is 9.7K. I know everyone said, ooh, you can't play anyone against Patrick Beverley last game out. I played Jeff Teague everywhere for Indiana, and Teague gave me, you know, seven times his salary, and I won a lot of money. So Chris Paul against Patrick Beverley does not worry me. What does worry me is his price tag. So Chris Paul is now 9.7K. Do I see a monster upside with that price? I don't know. I think he's going to find a way to give me between 40 and 50. But is he going to be in the winning GPP lineup? I'm not certain. I do love the over-under, and I'm going to have some exposure, but I'm not sold on him yet in cash games. But clearly, if you want to go that route, I'm on board. I just don't know if I'm personally going to do it. But if I don't do it, it's not going to be because of Patrick Beverley. Isaiah Thomas, I can't do him in cash games right now because he is so scoring dependent, and he hasn't given me 50 Fando points since what it feels like 2016. but it really was February 1st was the last time he did it. So it's been a month. That's a long time. Remember, he, at 9.4K to take down a tournament, he's really got to give you 50. I do like stacking this Cleveland-Boston game and playing Kyrie and Isaiah in the same lineup. But Isaiah, tournament play for me on this slate. Kyrie, 9.1K. Without Kevin Love, he still gets a nice big usage bump. He's been around with 40 and 50 ever since Love has been out. If I had to choose between him and Isaiah for cash games, I would choose Irving, quite honestly. Even though they are, I mean, Irving's not really a point guard either. LeBron's the point guard of that team. Of the last two games, last four or five games, Irving's averaging like 7 assists. I don't know how the hell he started doing that or when he started doing that, but that's something that that's makes me inclined to play more of him. Goran Dragic is 7.8K. He had a really nice night last time out, 41 Fanta points. I didn't see it coming against Dallas. His price did not go up, so that's good. I mean, he should be able to have his way against TJ McConnell. So is he against Philly? Is he a fine for any format? Sure. Do I love it? Nah, not really. Drew Holiday. The problem with Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday is they're playing the Pistons. So the Pistons play so freaking slow. Stan Van Gundy's just ranting and raving on the sideline. I mean, Judy Dench destroyed Detroit on Tuesday. So could Drew Holiday destroy Detroit? Absolutely. Do I love his price? Yes, I do. Do I think he's super excited the fact that Cousins is going to be out and he can go back to shooting 20 shots in this game? Remember, they also traded Tyreke Evans, which I didn't even mention. So, man, the more I think about it, the more I like Drew Holiday on this slate, and safe for all formats. Jeff Teague versus the Spurs, tournaments only. Ricky Rubio versus Utah, oh, God, tournaments only. Dennis Schroeder versus Dallas. It's just such a slow pace. I don't feel the need to do it. No, thank you. I don't really want to play a criminal either. So Derrick Rose at 6.3K. It doesn't really do much for me on this slate. Darren Collison, 6K. So Darren Collison gets Brooklyn. Now, against Minnesota, he was really bad. The last two games, he's actually been pretty bad. Only 15 and 22 Fando points. But I think against Brooklyn, how can he not give you 25 to 30 Fando points? So if you're looking to save and need a value play in cash games, how can Collison not come through for us against Brooklyn on this slate? So to me, safe for all formats. I'm not going to call it an elite play just because he looked really bad the last couple of days. But against Brooklyn, I still think it's a good spot for him. George Hill, just nothing sexy about this play. He's fine. He's another, you know, he's on the bumble, stumble, fumble team. He'll get you around 30 Fanduel points. Alfred Payton, tournaments, yeah, 5.8K. He had 46 Fanduel points last game against Atlanta, and that was in only 28 minutes because Orlando blew them out. If he decides he wants to play, he can destroy Derrick Rose. He can destroy the Knicks. Is he going to come to play? I don't know. God, I mean, no one knows that. He's a Magic Mountain guy. Every day, I think him, Paul George, and Damian Lillard, hashtag Judy Dench, they have a conference call, and they decide whether or not they're going to be motivated that night. So if he's motivated, he's an elite tournament play. Other than that, TJ McConnell's 5.5K. No, his minutes, everything about him has been trending in the wrong direction. Where's my boy Brogdon? There he is, 5.1K against Denver. This, honestly, I might go all in on Brogdon, especially if I find out he's starting. He got 31 minutes last game. They need him to score. Dela Vadova has been a mess also, so they need him to also kind of initiate the offense. This is an elite spot for Brogdon. I know it's an 11-game slate, so I feel a little weird saying it, but to me, safe for all formats? Question mark? Also, Corey Joseph. So without Lowry, I know Corey Joseph was really bad last game, but to me, Corey Joseph is still, if you want to go Joseph instead of Brogdon in cash games, I get it. Just put Brogdon. Joseph's price went up a little bit. It's 5.1K now. I wonder what it is on DraftKings. Let me check real quick. DraftKings is probably higher. No, it's 5.4 on DraftKings. So, you know, on both sides, he's fine. I don't know if he has a great ceiling at that price, but I do think his floor is nice and safe. All right, shooting guard. Harden is 12.2K. And by the way, is Harden fat? Can someone answer this to me? I can't tell. I watch him play. He's looked lazy the last few games. He's jacking up such horrendous three-pointers, fadeaways. He waits the shot clocks like 1 or 2 seconds. I don't know. I mean, he's been – so, like, at his salary, right, he's got to give you 60 FanDuel points to really even hit value. He's done that twice in the last 10 games or so. Do you have to do it? Remember, on these large slates, are guys like Harden and Westbrook typically in the winning lineups? They haven't been this year. With that said, this is a really good spot for him. The 230 over-under, he's due. He's been shooting the ball horrifically. And the thing about Harden is even when he shoots the ball really bad, he still winds up getting you between 40 and 50 fandom points. So if he's just making his shots, he can get you 60, 70, 80. I'm not sure who's going to guard him. It's going to be Mbamute. Mute. It's going to be J.J. Redick. So Harden's in a good spot. Am I going to do it for cash games? Right now, I'm not. So Giannis gets Denver. He's in the elite spot. So Jimmy Butler failed us against Denver. Can Giannis pick it up? Remember, the Bucks. Who's going to score? I mean, Giannis played 42 minutes last game, only took 13 shots. I went back and watched some of that game because I just did not understand how he only took 13 shots. And he looked kind of just not focused and not into the game. It's, you know, obviously I can't get in someone's head, so I don't know what the hell happened. But against Denver, should he come through for us? Yes, he should. Will I play a lot of him? Yes, I will. Could he kill us? Maybe. Wow. Okay, so DeMar DeRozan is 10.2K. We know he's got a 40% usage rate without Kyle Lowry. But that's expensive, man. So he's got to give you 50 fandom points to pay that salary off. He's a one-trick pony. He doesn't pass the ball ever. He takes horrendous shots. So if he has a bad shooting night, he could kill our night really fast. That's a hefty price tag. I got to think about what to do on that. Maybe by the time if I can do a short video or short a special episode an hour before lineup lock tomorrow, I can let you know what I think about tomorrow. But I think the floor is safe. So if you want to use them in cash games, I think that's fine to do. The problem is tournaments. And to me, I think Giannis has a much higher upside than DeMar DeRozan. Like, how could DeMar DeRozan give you 60 fandom points, which is six times the salary? He would need to give you like 50 actual points. So if I have to choose between DeMar or Giannis in the tournament, give me Giannis. And actually give me Harden over DeMar too. For cash games, I think he's okay. Bradley Beal, that's fine. He's expensive. On a back-to-back, I worry a little bit about playing shooters because if their legs are gone, obviously it's going to impact someone's shot. So I don't love the Beal play, but it's okay. I still like teaming up Wall and Beal in a lineup together because if Beal makes his threes, it's going to be off a Wall assist. And by the way, if you play Wall, you need to play another Washington Wizard. Remember, he had 19 assists. So, unfortunately for me, I didn't play Markieff Morris, but I did have lots of Wall and Beal lineups, and those did okay. Lou Williams, I know he's been great, but I just don't want to pay 6.4K for someone coming off the bench who's going to get 26 to 28 minutes. His price tag on DraftKings is also it's 6.1K, so it's expensive on both sites. You can do it if you want, but that to me – I don't know. If I play 10 lineups, I'd have him in maybe two. I'd much rather play Seth Curry. Seth Curry's going to get 35. Remember, Wes Matthews is out. Seth Curry gets Atlanta defense, Atlanta guards who you can attack, and he also gets all the shots and usage in the world. And he's been really good last few games. So Seth Curry, safe for all formats. KCP, safe for all formats. 5.4K is too dirt cheap. KCP played 47 minutes on Tuesday, and he didn't even play that well. Stan Van Gundy has a man crush on KCP. So to me, 5.4K, it's too cheap. Now there's other guys I do like better who I'm going to talk about in a second, but you can play him any format you want. Evan Fournier. I mean, he's killed us in the last couple weeks, that's for sure. But against the Knicks, 5.3K. Remember, the last game out, it was against Atlanta. I watched that entire game. Cephalosa just shut him down. On the Knicks, can anyone shut him down? No. The Knicks don't play any defense. So this is an elite spot for Evan Fournier. That 5.3 price tag, If he doesn't give us 30 FanDuel points on this slate, I will take the gavel and I will throw it at the TV so hard. I'm worried about the gavel, the TV, all things. I'm worried about many things, because I'm going to be throwing all kinds of stuff, because I love that play. Eric Gordon, I like this play. He's so much cheaper than Lou Williams. They're getting, you know, the same amount of minutes, same amount of shots. Right now, Eric Gordon hasn't been making his shots. That will change eventually. So Eric Gordon, I like him for tournaments. Buddy Hield is 4.4K against Brooklyn. Sign me up for that. There's so much nice value at shooting guard. I wish I could roster like four shooting guards on this slate, because there's four or five guys down here who can give you like seven, eight times their salary. Rodney Hood, somewhat intriguing. He's still dirt cheap at 4.1K. Josh Richardson's 4.4K. Is he getting enough minutes yet? No, he's not, so we can't play him yet. All right, small forward. LeBron's price has come down a little bit. He gets Boston. He should be pretty motivated to play at Boston. This should be a big game. So safe for all formats. It's LeBron. Come on. Kawhi Leonard, 8.9K. So his price has come down, which is good. He has not been great the last three games. 28 FanDuel points against the Lakers was pretty devastating. And granted, only played 26 minutes. The weird thing was his stat line, 25 points and nothing else. He was a one-trick pony. What is that about? Kawhi is not a one-trick pony. So we're getting him at a discount here against Indiana, playing San Antonio, playing up in pace. If you want a nice little pivot off of LeBron, play Kawhi. I think it's a nice bounce-back spot for him. And Paul George, he's in La La Land. Not the movie, just somewhere else in La La Land. So he's not an elite defender this year. So Kawhi's safe for all formats. Melo, I don't know. I mean, Melo took 26 freaking shots last game. But I think Porzingis is going to be back. If Porzingis is back, Melo for tournaments only. Wiggins has Utah. So Wiggins is a tournament-only play. He's been great. He's been phenomenal since LaVine has been out. But against Utah, and I have Andy Larson coming on the show tomorrow. I cannot be disrespectful to Utah. Paul George getting Kawhi Leonard defense, 7.7K. Yeah, that's going to be a fade. I will play him in like one. I'll play him in like a $1 tournament or something, just in case. But yeah, tough to see that one. Him going off there. Covington, man, Covington's been great. Him and Saric have been tremendous. So at 7.3K, I have no issues. Any format you want to use Covington, I don't mind it. They are playing down. They are playing at a slow paced game though. So that Philly Miami game, I'm not a big fan of. Let's see, Harrison Barnes. He's going to get Cephalosha defense, so that worries me a little bit at 6.1K, but not a horrible play there. Jay Crowder, he will bumble, stumble, and fumble his way into around 30 FanDuel points or so. Coming off a bad game, but Boston got killed by Atlanta, so that's kind of an anomaly. Keep an eye on Avery Bradley minutes, though. If Avery Bradley gets his regular allotment of minutes, which I don't think he's going to yet, that will hurt Crowder a little bit. Trevor Ariza, I love playing Harden and Ariza in one lineup. Harden and Ariza is very similar to Wall and Beal, because Wall and Beal, I forgot how the percentage of Beal's threes are due to Wall's assists. It's a similar number, Harden to Ariza. Hollis Jefferson, man, brings back bad memories because he's coming off of a best game I've seen him play all year. He only got 20 minutes though, had 31 FanDuel points. Now, he's coming off a lot of rest. If he gets 26 minutes at that salary, can he hit value? Sure. I also should mention Chris Middleton. So Middleton's 5.1K. He's coming off a day of rest. He got 28 minutes last game out. If he gets 28 minutes against Denver, can he hit value? Can he give you six times his salary? Yeah, he can. So for tournaments, I'm a big fan of Chris Middleton, actually. CJ Miles, if you want to Google that, you can. And Jaylen Brown, not really with Avery Bradley back. All right, power forward. Man, I'm running out of steam. It's 4:45 in the morning. Anthony Davis, 11.6K. Right now, I just don't know if I can do it in cash. I mean, even though DeMarcus Cousins is going to be out, and his usage rate should be close to 40% on this slate, it's just going to be a really nasty game. Blake Griffin is 1.6K cheaper, and he gets Ryan Anderson defense. So I like Anthony Davis and Blake. Davis I'll use a lot in tournaments, obviously. I do think this is one occasion you can go Anthony Davis in cash games if you want. But to me, right now, I have Blake in my cash games at 10K against Houston because, man, Ryan Anderson is just – he will have – I don't know what they're going to – the Houston has no way to defend Blake. You know what their defense is going to be against Blake? Shooting threes. They're just going to try to score as many points as they can. They'll let Blake score as many points as he wants, though, as well. So Blake at 10K to me is a great play, elite play. Jokic, you can attack Bucks bigs. So Jokic, another guy. I mean, man, power forward is loaded up top. I like AD, Blake, and Jokic. I'll have the same lineup with Blake, one with Blake, one with Jokic. If I have to choose, I'd go Blake over Jokic, but I like them both. If you don't have that much money, it's Dario Saric, 7.6K. He's more expensive than Millsap now, and he should be. As long as Embiid is out, he gets you rebounds, assists, points. They initiate offense through him. He's playing just so – he's so good right now. And he's so – I mean, him and Covington both are just so locked in. They're involved in on both ends of the court on every possession, it seems like. So, man, I like that play too. Paul Millsap, he gets Dirk Nowitzki defense. So, sneaky ninja play of the night. Everyone's going to be playing Saric, Jokic, Griffin, Davis. A nice contrarian play is playing Paul Millsap. Serge Ibaka is now 6.8K. Yes, Lowry's out, but do I want to pay that price for Serge Ibaka, who has no offensive game anyway? So he's got to give me 35 Fanduel points to pay off his salary. That's like his ceiling, so I don't see the need to do it. Porzingis, I'll use Porzingis in one tournament or two or so just because I'm an idiot, but it's hard to trust that right now. Markieff Morris, if you want to chase those points, you can. Coming off 42 Fanduel points against Golden State, it's okay to do. I mean, he'll probably stumble, bumble, and fumble close to 30. Nerlens Noel, I'm going to go back to the well on Nerlens Noel in some lineups. He let me down against Miami, only had 19 Fanduel points, only 6 rebounds, 25 minutes. I don't know why they're not starting him yet. To keep starting Dirk Nowitzki at the 5 drives me insane. If Noel starts, I'll play more of him. But even coming off the bench, he's going to get 25, 30 minutes at that salary. And his price went down a little bit too, which I like. So he can give me 35 Fanduel points. The problem is on this slate, as you can already probably tell, power forward is freaking loaded. On DraftKings, depending on the way players are listed, I'm going to try to use as many power forwards as possible. Other than that, let's see. Willie Cauley sign against Brooklyn, so I'll use him a little bit as well. He's 5.4K. And then I mean I'm not going to go digging for too cheap at power forward because it's just the opportunity cost is going to be a killer if you try to punt and it doesn't work out. But maybe a little bit of Ryan Anderson because he's 4.7K. I will not be playing John Lure on this slate. And that's about it. All right, center. Towns is 10.5K, but he's going to run into the Rudy Gobert. And that's no joke. I actually want to watch this game and see how he does. But am I going to play him in DFS? Not a lot. I'll play him in like one lineup just in case. Whiteside, centers can destroy Philly because Okafor is just a disaster. He should not play a single minute in the NBA whatsoever. By the way, I didn't mention Richaun Holmes at power forward. If you want, you can play him, but his minutes are going to depend on Okafor. If Okafor stays out of foul trouble, Holmes will not get a ton of minutes. Also, it's an 11-game slate. If it was a 5-game slate, I would like Holmes a lot more. But Whiteside, for me, on this slate, he's in a really good spot. And the last two games, he got 37, 38 minutes. So I have not played Whiteside in forever. Am I going to on this slate? Yeah, I'm going to a little bit. So Sleepyhead Drummond, 8.1K. The problem is, like, what's his ceiling these days? I mean, he's not going to get more than 30 minutes. So I think his ceiling is like 40 fandom points, and that's like giving you value. The Pelicans are one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. Without Cousins, I think Omar Asik is out too. So Drummond should be able to feast. I do like the play for tournaments. It's last year, if I saw this, I'd be super pumped. It's just I've seen him play so – I mean, man, how many times do I have to watch Drummond play and let me down? And then even when he has a good game, it's like a golf clap. It's like, wow, he got value. What a miracle. So whatever. Rudy Gobert, they're going to have to play him a lot of minutes to guard Towns. The one thing I did not understand, he was a really popular play on Wednesday – or on Tuesday, I should say. It made no sense to me against Steven Adams. I didn't see it. He only had 30 fandom points. At that price, that's not enough. I don't know what other people saw that I didn't see. If you're playing him, you're relying on rebounds and blocks. So against Minnesota, at that price, it's okay. But I like other guys. I like DeAndre Jordan better, 7.7K, now that Chris Paul is back. In a fast-paced game against Houston – as long as Doc Rivers doesn't betray me and go small, which he does sometimes, Jordan should be able to grab every rebound in this game. I'm surprised that his price tag did not go up because they had 2 days to change it, and they didn't. So DeAndre Jordan, safe for all formats. I love Vucevic. Man, my favorite player of the night, center maybe. He's hard to trust in cash games, but the Knicks centers are so bad. Hernan Gomez is out. Kylo Quinn's going to get in foul trouble in like 3 minutes. So Vucevic, safe for all formats. Dwight Howard's okay. Gortat's okay. Greg Monroe is somewhat intriguing to me. Miles Turner's against the Spurs, so I don't like that as much. Al Horford's 5.9K, which is pretty remarkable. I think last year he was like 8K for a big chunk of the season. But he hasn't hit 30 fandom points since almost a month. That's an amazing stat. I mean, wow. So you can't trust that at all. Maybe in a tournament, but that's pretty amazing. My boy Valanciunas. I mean, Dwayne Casey's not going to give him more than 22 minutes, so can't really trust that. Kylo Quinn's 4.7K. And Vucevic, as much as I love Vucevic, Vucevic is the worst defender in the NBA. So, or at least one of the worst five opposing centers. Defensively. So with O'Quinn, it's all about foul trouble. Can he stay out of foul trouble against Vucevic? I don't know. If he does, he's going to get 30, 40 fandom points. If he doesn't, he's going to kill you and get 15 fandom points. But he's still cheap enough where I'm close to saying safe for all formats. I mean, who else are going to play at center? I guess they could play the Kuz, right? What is the Kuz's price? The Kuz is really – he's like a small forward, power forward. I got to see what the Knicks do. Right now it's Kylo Quinn for me for the Knicks. All right, that's it. That's the slate. We got through it. It's a really fun slate, man. This is 11 games. It's overwhelming. It's a lot. You're going to be able to build some super creative, fun lineups. So have any questions, please tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Have any questions for the Utah Jazz beat writer, Andy Larson, let me know. Otherwise – I'm going to do my best, because I am taping that interview with Andy, I'm not sure if I'm going to have time to do a special DG Courtroom episode, a 5-10 minute audio clip, you know, an hour before lineup lock. I will do my best to try. If you guys do have enough retweets, maybe the judge will come through with that, but it's tough to do. Man, my time is just, I'm less and less each day. All right, I need to get some sleep. I'm exhausted. For the bailiff, for the judge, court is adjourned.